Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. We're here to share a lot of quality information today. We're going to begin with the latest on health and healing and how a low-fat, plant-based vegan diet can reduce heart disease risk from the Cleveland Children's Clinic. And then limit the meat-rich diets, increase fruits and veggies intake to protect your kidneys. New study on that. We also have how low vitamin D, and this time of year, a lot of people are not getting outside, rightly so. So you're not getting your vitamin D. You should supplement, because if you don't, you increase your risk of cardiovascular disease. We're also going to tell you about the latest study on wireless radiation at your cell phone, among other things, causing cancer. Now, this is based upon the latest scientific findings. We'll share that with you. How flaxseed protects against radiation exposure, and a lot more. Then we'll look at how the CDC has a scientist, one of its most respected, who says that the agency forced all the researchers to lie about the safety of mercury-based vaccines. We will share this insight with you and comments by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. This is on our ongoing challenge to the massive campaign, and it is a very well-coordinated campaign with major PR firms putting their guest speakers and so-called experts. Never once are these experts financial conflicts of interest questioned. Never once are the publications who have been consistently wrong on major issues invalidated. So we have very few forums for the people who want to know the truth. And we happen to be one of those forums, and we will share what is the truth on vaccines. Also today, we will give you the latest on vaccine-induced immune overload and the epidemic of chronic autoimmune childhood diseases by Dr. Gary Coles from Global Research. Six corporations control 90% of the media in America. We'll share that with you. And this is what corporatocracy looks like. Trading our democracy for corporate profit with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, David Lindorf. For those of you who were surprised at how such a poorly written book can become so popular, and now it's a monster hit movie, we will discuss 50 Shades of Grey, special commentary from Chris Hedges. Then I'll open up the phones for input. We have a lot to share. Let's begin. First up, we know that we should be on the healthy fats. Now, the healthy fats are the unprocessed fats, meaning your extra virgin cold-pressed olive oil, coconut oil, flaxseed oil, avocado oil, almond oil. These are amongst the best of the oils. And most people, unfortunately, have the highly processed trans fatty oils, lard and margarines and peanut oil and cottonseed oil. That's what most of them eat. And that's not good. So the Cleveland Children's Clinic put out a notice. It was published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Pediatrics, and here's what it says. Quote, among the complications of obesity include an increased risk of heart disease. But for children and adolescents who are obese, this risk could be reduced with a low-fat, plant-based vegan diet. And by the way, for those in this audience who don't realize how vast childhood obesity is, we are the fattest nation per population on the planet. I remember once there was a national championship race in Orlando, and I went a day ahead. I wanted to do something. I stood outside of Disney World and just counted how many obese children and adults went in compared to those who were not. And it was like 80% were obese or overweight. So just, and I was just flabbergasted because these people seem to be disconnected from reality of what's likely to happen once they are obese. All the other illnesses, from cancer to stroke to heart disease and arthritis, are going to happen because of that. And then how many people as adults are overweight, and that's going to speed up them dying quicker, and also it's going to speed up them having dementia and Alzheimer's. Anyhow, we seem to be living in a nation of mass denial on the consequences. So I'm glad to see the Cleveland's Children's Clinic put out this report. So eat your veggies, eat your fruits, and go on the lower-fat diet. Now, a separate study, this is a good study. It's the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. They looked at 1,486 adults with chronic kidney disease. And what they found was that the higher levels of dietary acid load were strongly linked with progression to kidney failure. And people who consumed high acid diets were 300% more likely to develop kidney failure than patients who consume low acid diets. So what can we do to change that? What causes a high acid in the body? Meat, alcohol, and your caffeine, like coffee, sugar. What's one way to start the day to lower that acid? Lemon juice. What I would suggest is you take the juice of 2 lemons and put them into a cup of water. If it's cold, it's outside, then use a warm tea and put a little bit of Manuka honey in. That will help alkaline the body, and in that alkalizing process, you're putting yourself out at risk. Now, if you start the day with coffee and the typical breakfast, you're putting yourself into an acid base. And then the moment you have your meat, any form of meat, you're right up there with acid again. So this study is an important study. And this was appears in the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. So if you want to keep your kidneys healthy, vegetables and fruits. If you want to damage your kidneys, meat, sugar, and caffeine and alcohol. That is the takeaway message there. Now, this time of year, I'm hearing from all over the United States, and I see the weather reports in, which is rather interesting because in the last 4 years, I've conducted over 40 workshops for free as a public service on homesteading. These are meant for people to begin the idea of transitioning away from where they live. And by the way, a lot of the people coming are people who've been in public service jobs, police, firefighters, and they want to get their retirement and then do something that is good for this part of their life and healthier. And homesteading is one of those things you can do. But the question is where? And I keep telling him, historically, the places I might have recommended, would have recommended, like Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, the Great Lakes areas, I wouldn't recommend at all now. And that's because of extreme weather. This year, we're expected to have more than 13,000 extreme weather events in the United States, over 130,000 worldwide. Now, an extreme weather event is something that is the worst of its kind. The hottest day, the coldest day, the worst flooding, the worst drought, the number of hurricanes, the severity of the hurricane or tornado or earthquake. These are extremes. And now we're living in the new normal. Normal is what you're seeing now, you know, 30 below zero wind chill. And when you have, let's say you started up in Maine and around Portland, and you thought it was a good idea, beautiful up there, nice people, progressive community, and you built yourself a greenhouse. Well, I want to tell you, when you hit 15 below zero, you're going to be having what you have inside, more often than not, freeze, and therefore, whatever you were growing, you got to start over. You're going to use an enormous amount of utility because you can't keep something cavernous warm with the heat coming off one of those heaters that throw either gas base or electric base heat into the air. It's just too big, and the weather outside is too cold. Plus, you'll have things freeze in the ground. And then you suddenly don't realize, gee whiz, it's May. Why are we having a frost now? Everything you planted is frozen. Plus, how many days a year now in this extreme weather can't you get to market with what you have? Whereas if you're in a southern climate, your concern is not freezing, your concern is heat. And herein is one of the biggest differences. You could put in your hydroponic house, your aquaponic house, your greenhouse, you could put the solar coolers. That means that up on your roof is a simple little panel, a single panel, probably cost you under $200. And that is attached to a fan. And the fan, once you hit, let's say, 80 degrees, it opens up and starts wicking out the hot air. Well, it's relatively easy to wick out hot air and keep it in the ideal temperature range for what you want to grow. In fact, you can section off a greenhouse. You could have 4, 5, 6 sections. Each section has its own temperature. Now, because you're doing it with solar, the cost to you is zero. You're not adding any pollution. There's no carbon footprint. It doesn't matter how hot it gets. You're able to maintain it. That's just one of the reasons I'm suggesting homesteading projects in warmer climates. Because as cold as it is, as much wind chill as you all face today, this is going to be the new norm, and it's going to get a lot worse. In any case, we don't get enough vitamin D. And one of the things we need every single day is we need about an hour of direct sun exposure to at least one-third of our body for the skin to be able to manufacture vitamin D. A new study led by University of Turku measured vitamin D levels and found that kids are not getting enough and adults are not getting enough. But here's the danger. If your child is spending too much time indoors, and today children do, they're going to end up with low vitamin D. And that means they're at a higher risk of a type of cardiovascular disease that can be diagnosed in adulthood. And this is dangerous. So if you're not outside, the day that you're not outside, take 2,000 units of vitamin D. That can help prevent this heart disease in both adults and in children. Now, there was a time when anyone who suggested that cell phones could cause abnormal heat into the chromosomes and adversely affect the telomeres, the end caps of chromosomes, could hence cause jaw, brain, skin inflammation, which could lead to tumors, was considered irresponsible. Now there are over 40 studies proving that it can do exactly that. It's not irresponsible. This is the latest on wireless radiation causing cancer. The National Association for Children and Safe Technology is calling, according to the latest study, on a cancer prevention initiative focusing upon a children's exposure to cell phones. And the Hardell Group in Sweden found a 300% increased risk with 25-year-olds who were using cell phones. This quote, "The science is clear. Cell phone use increases our risk of cancer." Now, another study by the same researchers found a correlation between wireless, meaning your cell phones, and lower survival rates for people diagnosed with the most malignant form of brain tumor, the gliomas. And these two studies followed another study which found that, quote, "risks were higher for gliomas, temporal tumors, and occupational and urban mobile phone use." And there was a big study. It was the biggest wireless study carried out. It was a $25 million interphone study, found that, quote, "regular use of a cell phone by adults can significantly increase the risk of gliomas by 40% with 1,640 hours or more of this use." That's not a lot. So just understand, how is this all happening? Well, first, the nation's schools are now rife with wireless exposure because there are movements to get more of these industrial strength routers and 30 or more handheld devices or laptops which all met radiation or in the average school. And these exposures represent an unprecedented health risk to children because they're being exposed 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, for their entire school year. Mind you, these are kids whose bodies are still developing, and children absorb up to 10 times more radiation than adults. So just be aware that there's no longer any need for science. The science is in. Cell phones cause cancer. So what can you do? You can use the cordless by keeping it away from your body. As long as you hold the cell phone a foot away from your head, use the speaker. That will help. And or use a wire headset. And by the way, the worst of all are those Bluetooth, because you're putting it right at the brain on your ear. Never use that. And finally, flaxseed protects against radiation exposure. From GreenMed Info, Margie King, quote, "We are bombarded every day with by harmful radiation from medical tests like x-rays and CAT scans, radon gas and radiation from space, and there's always worry about fallout from disasters like the meltdown at Fukushima nuclear power plant in Japan. How do you protect yourself from radiation?" And then it goes into what will help. And the Perelman School of Medicine at University of Pennsylvania found that, quote, "Flaxseed may help protect lungs against damage caused by radiation exposure. The researchers believe that flaxseed might also have a role in protecting other healthy tissues and organs before exposure to radiation, and significantly reduces damage even after exposure." According to a Dr. Melpo Salamandua, research professor of medicine, pulmonary allergy, and critical care, the study demonstrates that dietary flax seed, already known for its strong antioxidant and anti-inflammatory properties, works as both a mitigator and protector against radiation damage. So from my perspective, the takeaway message is, before you get any x-ray, take flaxseed oil. I would take 2 tablespoons. And then take black cumin seed oil, 3 tablespoons on the same day you get radiation, and 3 per day, every day, for the next 2 weeks after any form of radiation. That can make a difference. I'm Gary Knoll. Just one more thing from our environmental segment before we take a break here. This is from Common Dreams, Deidre Fulton. She says, "Doctors worldwide blast the Trans-Pacific Partnership's chilling effects on health climate protections. An international coalition of doctors representing 7 Pacific Rim countries is demanding the public release of draft trade agreements currently being negotiated in secret between world governments. The corporate-friendly Trans-Pacific Partnership, along with the equally troubling Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, quote, threaten the ability of governments worldwide to provide affordable health care and to put in place health and environmental laws that protect public health and mitigate health inequality." That's been signed by 27 health leaders, and it will be published this week in The Lancet. Quote, "Although USA-based industry advisors have been granted privileged access to negotiating documents, health agencies have been forced to rely on leaked information." So for the people in this audience, you all are fully aware by this time that virtually everything involving the Trans-Pacific Partnership has been gamed against the American consumer, against our laws and protections, and all on behalf of mega corporations. Now here's where the Congress, with both heads of the Senate and the House, agreeing to allow President Obama to have the authority to fast-track this, which means that there will be no opportunity for amendments, subtractions, additions, or challenge. And he is fully in the pocket of the major corporate interest. So this is something that people should be very concerned about. From our own position on vaccines, I want to share a few things with you. One is by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. On this, I would disagree with him. Completely disagree, but that's fine, because there are many things I agree with him. And I have already sent him our five-hour special on deconstructing the myth of vaccine safety and efficacy with a whole panel of experts. By the way, at least 90% of the panel were pro-vaccine. And he says the following, quote, "I am now and have always been fiercely pro-vaccine. I had all six of my children vaccinated. I believe that vaccines have saved the lives of hundreds of millions of people over the past century and that broad vaccine coverage is critical to public health. That's why I want our vaccines to be as safe as possible. The new regulations in the following article support what I've been saying for 8 years. Thimerosal is brain poison. When you vaccinate, always ask for thimerosal-free vaccines, which are now available for virtually all vaccines on the CDC schedule," end quote. Sorry, Mr. Kennedy, but you're in error. All vaccines contain parts per billion of thimerosal. So, by your own logic, you should not have vaccinated your children, and you should be adamant that you have been lied to and manipulated along with hundreds of millions of others. Let's break it down. America's foremost expert on thimerosal, what you're concerned about, mercury, who just passed recently, and we had the good fortune of having a half-hour segment of him on our program last Tuesday evening. He was the one who did the original research. He was with the CDC and the FDA and the EPA and a major professor in his field. And he found that there is no safe level of thimerosal, none. He also was the one who went on the record stating that where they did take the 24 micrograms of mercury out of most vaccines, they left micro amounts in under the belief that they will help protect the integrity of the other ingredients as a microbiological agent. In point of fact, his research, and he's pro-vaccine, clearly and unequivocally states that thimerosal was never a quality antibacterial agent. In fact, he used an example on this program in a filmed interview last Tuesday that when the British, during the Battle of Britain, were running out of plasma for transfusions, America sent a batch, and he and others advocated for a freeze-dried process, but there wasn't time. So they used mercury, thimerosal. Every one of those bags was poisoned when it got there. It did not work. So first, there's been the lie that it's a major or the necessary antibacterial agent. It didn't work. And B, that they took it out of all the vaccines. No, they didn't. It's still in parts per billion. And he stated that there is no such level as any at all. In fact, he said that even parts per billion still increased neurological risks. So on that, also, you're probably of the opinion that the smallpox vaccine eradicated smallpox. We have definitive proof with actual public health graphs showing that that is not the case. In fact, our graphs show, and these are public health graphs, we didn't make them up. And it was Roman Bastrinic and Dr. Susan Humphreys who found that in thousands of hours of research that it was clean water bringing fresh fruits and vegetables into market, the efforts to get rid of the dead other than putting them in out on the street, which is what people used to do. They just would, if you died, they put you out on the street. And also, there was no indoor plumbing. And as a result, every day everyone went into a bucket and they just threw the bucket out the window. And could you imagine the hygiene crisis that created? In any case, it was the improvement in sanitation, improvement in the pasteurization of milk to help prevent consumption or tuberculosis, and all these other health measures. Also, one of the biggest health measures that the pro-vaccine people refuse to acknowledge, which is real science, is that during the 18th century and the early 19th century, child labor was epidemic, and children were expected to work for 12 hours a day, up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, which increased their death rate tremendously. And also when immigrants came, they were frequently just, there was a name put on their tag, on their clothes, If it was Punxsutawney, they went to Punxsutawney. If it was Katanning, Pennsylvania, they went to the coal mines of Katanning, and that's where they worked. And those that were not brought over as slaves were brought over as indentured labor, which mean they had a 7-year contract, and they had to work nonstop. Massive amounts of people died because they were thrown into the worst of human conditions, sometimes 20, 30 living in a basement. Now, how in the world can any reasonable and responsible public health advocate not see this and not be aware that this is the reason? But also, we will show charts that before the first shot of the measles vaccine, it was already 98% gone. Gone. So it did not eradicate measles. We also, growing up, including yourself, we used to have measles parties, chickenpox parties. I remember them, where the parents wanted everyone to get the chickenpox measles because it gave them immunization for life. It was called natural immunity, something that real science and toxicologists and immunologists that we have interviewed believe in. Also, you seem to be, and this is true of most people on the left, there seems to be an ideological disconnect, a cognitive disconnect. I wish it weren't so, but with Noam Chomsky and everyone else on the left, it is so. Where they're reasonable and responsible on some issues and completely propagandized and then become true believer, radicalized advocates for what disinformation campaign they have themselves been susceptible to. Hard to believe? Well, I'll be writing an article on it and publishing it tomorrow about one more reason the left has lost its credibility on these important issues. So, yes, I'm glad that you are addressing the issue and have. But like probably 90% of the people in the autism movement and the vax movement, you still believe in vaccines. Would you still believe in vaccines if you looked at all the research on the safety and efficacy? For my last film, The Silent Epidemic, I only invited previously pro-vaccine scientists to be filmed. All of these people are independent. They're all academics. They're all scientists or physicians board certified. They have no financial interest one way or the other. And now I ask them, show me the proof that the vaccines are safe and effective based upon any given individual. Could you guarantee that any person, a man, a woman, child, older adult, pregnant woman, who receives this series of vaccines could be guaranteed safety and efficacy? And to a person, they said, that is not possible. There is no vaccine that has been proven safe. None. Then they explained through toxicology and published articles, which we have dozens of, why. All you have to do is look at the individual ingredients, not just mercury. If you're that concerned with mercury, and I'm glad you are, you'll be even more concerned about aluminum, which is in all vaccines, and polysorbate 80, and embalming fluid, formaldehyde, and fetal cells from wide spectrum. Also, there was a woman who came to see me more than 30 years ago, and she was one of the top vaccinologists with the Department of Health in New York City. And she was so concerned that we went through this whole effort of me not knowing her name, not knowing anything about her, that I was with an intermediary, I had to meet her, and I did. And that's when I went into this room, she had these, it looked like about 3 ping pong size tables laid out, and on it she had all these blown up photographs. And she said, what are you looking at? And I said, well, these are cell cultures. And she said, yes, they are. Now, what do you notice about them? Look carefully. So I looked at them, and I said, well, that you have mixed mediums. She says, you're right, those are all contaminated. She said, every single vaccine given is contaminated. And she said, I no longer in good conscience could be a part of the program in the city of New York, knowing that I was causing contaminated DNA from rats to get into the vaccines. And she said, the politics of the city is so corrupt at every level that there's no one I can go to, because in New York City, it's a cesspool. and it always has been, always will be. Under every mayor, every city council, they're all corrupt, she says. This is what she's saying. She could be right, she could be wrong, but this is what she had as a senior scientist heading a major division. She said, I'm sick of it. I'm out of here. I can't take this anymore. The city functions on lies, deceptions, and special interest. And with that, I went about researching vaccines for the first time in a way I would not have otherwise. And that's when I began to see the truth. So I've been looking at this for a long time. So the other ingredients in the vaccine and how they're made, including the one of the greatest journalists in world history, Janine Roberts, 44 years, top investigative journalist. She brought you blood diamonds. She brought the case of that, the gold blood. She brought you that, the genocide in the Congo because of the minerals for cell phones. She brought you that, the theft of the Aboriginal children from their parents and put in state boarding schools. She brought you that. So she brought you a lot of good stuff. But she also was unique in that I know no other science writer, investigative reporter, who was invited in at the top national level to see how the polio virus and how the mumps viruses were actually made. Why don't you download last Tuesday night's show and listen to her firsthand, not hearsay, firsthand description of the ingredients that went in there? And you will not believe it. And then ask, would you want your kids to have this? And why is it that you have not looked at how many children have been injured, how many girls killed by cause of Gardasil, how many hospitalized, how many children have autism, how many of their parents have been listened to? How can you deny a million parents any virtue of credibility by saying that it's all anecdotal? And yet we now have a federal court case where two whistleblowers from Merck are going forward to talk about how the whole vaccine thing is a scam, it's a fraud. Why isn't this ever brought up? So I'm merely sharing this because an enormous package of research data and original documents from credible scientists are being sent to you today. My hope is that you'll review them with the same objectivity and determination that you've used in other pursuits and have done so much good on other causes. Now here's what you say. On this, we agree. Quote, a senior CDC vaccine safety scientist, Dr. William Thompson, has invoked the protection of the federal whistleblower statute following the release of his taped conversations disclosing pervasive corruption within the CDC's vaccine division. Dr. Thompson, a 16-year veteran and a senior scientist at CDC's Immunology Safety Office, is currently employed at the CDC's National Center for Birth Defects and Developmental Disabilities. Thompson is the author of two of the three epidemiological studies on American population touted by the CDC to prove the safety of thimerosal against developmental disabilities. Thimerosal is a controversial mercury-based vaccine preservative that research scientists and vaccine safety advocates have connected to the epidemic of brain disorders in children. The vaccine industry's foremost spokesman and the world's premier champion for thimerosal and vaccines, Dr. Paul Offit, stated in 2008 that Dr. Thompson's, quote, wonderful 2002 study was the definitive study on thimerosal safety. Okay? This is the same Paul Offit that was on Democracy Now! Last week, unchallenged by the woman who is professor of law, who could have challenged him. Quote, but Thompson now says that his bosses at CDC pressured him to alter the results of that study to conceal thimerosal's risks. Dr. Thompson said that his superiors at the CDC Developmental Disabilities Branch pressured him to manipulate the study findings and to bury the links between thimerosal and brain damage. In response to his pressure, the published version downplayed data showing that thimerosal causes tics, a family of grave neurological injuries, including Tourette syndrome, that are associated with autism. Thompson now says that the data showed a definitive, statistically significant association between thimerosal and tics. Quote, thimerosal from vaccines cause tics. I can say tics are 400% more prevalent in kids with autism. There is biologic plausibility right now to say that thimerosal causes autism-like features, end quote. After bearing these findings, the CDC touted Thompson's study to thimerosal for use in current flu vaccines, which is administered to pregnant women and young children. Thompson stated recently in a taped interview with Simpson University biochemist Dr. Brian Hooker, quote, "Do you think a pregnant woman would want to take a vaccine that they knew caused ticks? Absolutely not. I would never give my wife a vaccine that I thought caused ticks," end quote. Thompson was also the co-author of a 2004 study in Pediatrics Journal in which he now admits that under pressure from the CDC bosses, his team fraudulently withheld data demonstrating a significant link between the MMR vaccine and autism in African-American boys. In a taped conversation, Dr. Thompson confessed, quote, "I have great shame now when I meet families with kids with autism because I've been a part of the problem," end quote. As an aside, I have counseled and met many African-American parents whose children have autism and Latino parents whose children have autism. He's acknowledged that he was a part of a fraudulent scheme. They covered up bad information. That's a felony. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr., as an attorney, is fully aware of that. I am asking for criminal indictment against Dr. Thompson for what he did. The fact that he's apologized does not undo the lives that he may have helped destroy. I believe all the members of the team and the people at the CDC who were aware of this cover-up should all be looked upon with such a jaundiced eye because the facts are out. Evidently, once again, the same CDC that had no value when it came to appreciating the life of an African-American once again covered up the fact that African-Americans can have as much of a 300% increase in autism based upon the age they receive these vaccines. So this is what should be topically discussed, the cover-up of vaccine safety by the CDC and the cover-up of fraudulent research by two scientists at one of the largest makers of vaccine in the world. That should be what is being discussed by host, not the pro-talking ports from the pharmaceutical industry that all vaccines are safe and effective. Anyone who challenges them isn't a quack. Quote, in a written statement issued by Thompson's attorney, Rick Morgan of Morgan Verbkamp of Cincinnati, Ohio, a firm that specializes in federal whistleblower cases, Thompson said, quote, I regret that my co-authors and I omitted statistically significant information in our 2004 article published in the journal Pediatrics. The omitted data suggested African-American males who received the MMR vaccine before the age of 36 months were at an increased risk of autism. Decisions were made regarding which findings to report after the data were collected, and I believe that the final study protocol was not followed. So, there you have it, fraud. There's a lot more to the article, which we published up online on our website. So I thank Robert Kennedy Jr. for bringing this to a larger audience's attention. My hope is after looking at all the data on vaccines, you reconsider your unbridled support for them, because the rest of the science is just as corrupt. And just look at the revolving door. Look at the CDC's director, Julia Gerberding. She went to work for heading Merck's vaccine division. So there you go. From one governmental agency into a top-paying position in another. Now, something... Of course, I believe that people should have freedom of choice in all areas, and if you want to enjoy your porn, that's your business, not mine. It's not mine to critique it. I believe, however, that as a larger issue, an awful lot of people will be enjoying their sexuality with their partner if they were open and honest, and I believe that the at least one reason we have so much preoccupation with porn is because a lot of people are lonely and don't have fulfilling sex lives. Fifty Shades of Grey, both the book and the movie, is a celebration of the sadism that dominates nearly every aspect of American culture and lies at the core of pornography and global capitalism. Chris Hedges believes this. I believe it. A lot of people believe it. But evidently, the 100 million people bought the book, and the people that made it a pop movie phenomenon over the weekend would disagree. That's fine. But just hear out the logic. Then agree or disagree as you will. 50 Shades of Grey glorifies our dehumanization of women. It champions a world devoid of compassion, empathy, and love. It eroticizes hypermasculine power that carries out the abuse and degradation and humiliation and torture of women whose personalities have been removed, whose only desire is to debase themselves in the service of a male lust. The film, like American Sniper, unquestioningly accepts a predatory world where the weak and the vulnerable are objects to exploit while the powerful are narcissistic and violent demagogues. It blesses this capitalist hell as natural and good. We are blinded by self-destructive fantasy, an array of amusements and spectacles, including TV reality shows and huge sporting events and social media and porn, which earns at least twice what Hollywood movies generate, alluring luxury products and drugs and alcohol and magic, Jesus, offers enticing exit doors from reality. We yearn to be rich, powerful, and celebrities. And those we must trample to build our pathetic little empires are seen as deserving their fate. That nearly all of us will never attain these ambitions is emblemic of our collective self-delusion and the effectiveness of a culture awash in manipulation and lies. Porn seeks to eroticize this sadism. In porn, women are paid to repeat the mantra, I'm a bitch, I'm a whore, I'm a slut. Have sex as hard as you can. They plead to be physically abused. Porn caters to degrading racist stereotypes. Black men are sexually potent beasts stalking white women. Black women have a raw, primitive lust. Latin women are sultry and hot-blooded. Asian women are meek and sexually submissive, geishas. In porn, human imperfections do not exist. The oversized silicone breast, the pouting, gel-inflated lips, the body sculpted by plastic surgeons, the drug-induced erections that never subside, and the shaved pubic regions which cater to porn's pedophilia, turn performers into pieces of plastic. Smell, sweat, breath, heartbeats, and touch are erased, along with tenderness. Women in porn are packaged commodities. They are pleasure dolls and sexual puppets. They are stripped of true emotions. Porn isn't about sex, if one defines sex as a mutual act between two partners, but about masturbation, a solitary auto-arousal devoid of intimacy and love. The cult of the self, that is the essence of porn, lies at the core of corporate culture. Porn, like global capitalism, is where human beings are sent to die. There are few people on the left who grasp the immense danger of allowing pornography to replace intimacy, sex, and love. Much of the left believes that pornography is about free speech, as if it is unacceptable to financially exploit and physically abuse a woman in a sweatshop in China, but acceptable to do the same on the set of a porn film, as if torture is wrong in Abu Ghraib, where prisoners are sexually humiliated and abused as if they were on a porn set, but permissible on commercial porn sites. A new wave of feminists who have betrayed the iconic work of radicals such as Andrea Dworkin defends porn as a form of sexual liberation and self-empowerment. These feminists, grounded in Judith Butler and others, are stunted products of neoliberalism and postmodernism. Feminism, for them, is no longer about the liberation of women who are oppressed. It is defined by a handful of women who are successful, powerful, and wealthy, or as in the case of 50 Shades of Grey, able to snag a rich and powerful man. A woman wrote the 50 Shades of Grey book as well as the screenplay. A woman directed the film. A woman studio had bought the movie. This collusion by women, with the exception of one man, sorry on that, is part of the internationalized oppression and sexual violence that have their roots in porn. Dworkin understood. She wrote that the new pornography is a vast graveyard where the left has gone to die. The left cannot have its whores and its politics too. Your thoughts. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. Time for Talk Back. Nice to have you on board. Back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Anyone who ever loved could look at me and know that I love you. Anyone who ever dreamed could look at me and know I dream of you. Knowing I love you so.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. Tomorrow, I'll be talking about mass incarceration has been a costly and utter failure and why we don't pay attention to it. Also tomorrow, from Deidre Fulton, This Is How the World Ends, 12 risks that humans should pay attention to because these 12 risks are real. I would agree, and I'll share those 12 risks with you. Also tomorrow, vaccine-induced immune overload and the epidemic of chronic autoimmune childhood diseases. We'll be sharing that tomorrow. And six corporations controlling 90% of the media in America. We'll deal with that. Your turn to speak out. Let's say hello to James. Hi, James.
Oh, good afternoon, Mary. Gary, I just heard this morning on one of the local stations, PRN stations, that the agriculture wants to approve GMO apples. And I'd like to know, Gary, what the people should do to fight this, because why would they take nature's apples and turn it into something that's beyond a freak of nature?
All right. Well, these are called Arctic apples, and it's not that they plan to approve it. It has been approved. So you will be receiving it. And the reason they did it was simple. As you know, that there are certain products like a banana and an avocado, an apple, that will brown very quickly once opened. So this stopped the browning or the oxidation. But has it been tested in humans? No, not at all. So the key is to make sure that you buy only certified organic apples, and that way you won't be able to get this. Because we do not know what the outcome could be by altering genes in the genome of one being consumed by another. Remember, when you eat something that's genetically modified, that becomes a part of your gene. So stay away from Arctic apples and stick with organic. They won that round, and like a lot of the things they do, we have to wait to see the damaging effect. You heard earlier in the program me condemning cell phones based upon the science, but think of how long it took from the first time I did a program over 16 years ago on the dangers of cell phone to where we finally have it, including 7 years ago, leading a demonstration up on 92nd and Weston Avenue with about 600-700 people to show that these towers on the side of buildings were bringing radiation into those buildings. So the tenants in those buildings were not aware that they had these radiation towers, signal towers, and that if you're there, that's coming at you also. And yet now, finally, we're becoming aware. It'll be another 5 years before the full truth comes out. Thanks for your call, James.
Thank you.
Let's say hello to Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary.
You're on the air. Speak up. She was on the air. We'll try to get her back in a moment. If you'd like to call in and share your comments and thoughts or views on any issue, please do. It's your talk back time, 888-874-4888. Let me also mention that tomorrow evening, starting at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., a two-hour special on the Progressive Commentary Hour. Last week was a five-hour special on vaccines. Tomorrow, that two-hour special, which starts at 6 p.m., will be about AIDS. I have brought together from all over the world people that you have never heard from, outstanding scientists, including Nobel Prize winners, tomorrow, speaking out about how the entire war on AIDS has been corrupted, what I've been saying for a long time, including long-term survivalists using natural therapies, including gay journalists who are long-term survivalists. You're going to hear an awful lot that you've never heard before. So let's say hello to Walter from Virginia. Hi, Walter.
I just have a twofold question. First part is, have you ever met or did you know the cellular therapy pioneer Paul Meehan? And also, is his work still being continued today?
Yes, I did know him. We had many conversations, and that was early on in the very beginning of my career. I have no idea if his work is still continuing today. That I couldn't tell you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. And we'll take more calls. I'm just waiting for more calls to come up, and I'll be happy to get you on the air. Let me also mention that I'm out of town. I'll be back shortly. But until I do get back, people have been showing up at my office, not knowing I'm out of town. I'm not there, so please don't show up because there's no one there that can help you. If you want help, free help, counseling on health issues, I have top nutritionists that work for free. I pay them. You don't have to pay them anything. So you can call, make an appointment, and see them, because I've been told in the last week alone about 40 people during the week showed up and didn't know I was there wanting some help. When I get back, I'm happy to help people, but that won't be for about 6 weeks. So call 212-874-4000, 212-874-4000, and you'll be able to make an appointment with someone who, free of charge, will be able to help you. Also, I'm going to be hiring two new nutritionists. You must have a background in clinical nutrition, and if you do, call, and we'll see about hiring you, okay? Because we got more people seeking help than what I can possibly do at this time, even with the staff I have. Let's say hello to Rick from Columbus, Ohio. Hi, Rick. Your turn.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good.
Yeah, I understand you spoke about how progressives fall short with determining the true nature of porn.
I didn't say progressives. I said the left.
The left. There is a difference.
Big difference. Huge difference. Huge difference. I want nothing to do with what I see happening with the left. They elected Bill Clinton. They would elect Hillary Clinton tomorrow. That's the Nation magazines. That's Mother Jones. That's Alternet. That's MSNBC. That's Rachel Maddow. These are the people who are pro-vaccines. These are the people who are pro-AIDS. Don't question anything. If you do, you're an AIDS denier.
Wait. Did you say pro-vaccine?
They're all pro-vaccines.
Okay, and then you said AIDS? What did you say about AIDS?
They're all pro-AIDS establishment, meaning if you are a scientist like Dr. Curry Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for discovering something used in AIDS called the polymer chain reaction test, and he says he challenged the way AIDS was being looked upon, they exclude those scientists. Now there are 3,000 of those scientists. So you're not allowed to challenge anything on AIDS. You're not allowed to challenge anything on vaccines or the drugging of our children or pharmaceuticals or women getting antipsychotic medication. You're not allowed to challenge the death of John F. Kennedy. You're not allowed to challenge 9/11. You're not allowed to.
That's the left?
What part of this conversation are you disconnecting with? I'm saying the corporate liberal establishment I want nothing to do with. I will defy them, and I will challenge them every day of my existence. They are not progressives. You can't find a progressive member amongst them. These are corporate shills. These are ideologues. Go ahead with your thought, please.
I have a philosophy. I have an understanding. It's pretty simple, but nobody gets it. You know, I'll just say it. I understand that whatever the mind understands to be true, nothing can be broken as proof that one sees it. And so, you know, technically anyone can think anything, they can understand anything that can ever be understood, but you cannot be divisive that you see it. And so you can apply religion. If a person says, well, they believe a Christ exists or existed, it is okay with me. But you can't prove you believe that. You can only undermine society for not accepting the claim.
Okay, let's just say that you're right, and I agree. I don't ever argue anyone's belief. That's not my right.
Sure.
My challenge is when they mandate vaccines, when they mandate that you must be tested for HIV, when they mandate that we will not allow anyone to debate national politics except the corporate left and the corporate right, meaning you've got two people that you're going to see instead of the 25 other people who have better ideas like Jill Stein, Rocky Anderson, Dennis Kucinich. When you exclude people by your mandate, then I'm going to challenge it. Until that time, you can believe whatever you want to believe. That you're right. Wasn't it Clarence Darrow who said, I do not pretend to know what other ignorant men are sure of?
Right.
And we have an awful lot of people with sure beliefs, true believers, I call them. Try to open a closed mind. You can't. Try to convince a true believer there's another perspective on life. You can't. Try to share with someone who has raptured themselves in one ideology that there might be other truths in this world. They're not going to pay attention. So for me, the progressive is the person that looks for the truth without the ideology having it be wrapped and written in a lyric they can appreciate. Thanks a lot for your call. We're out of time. Got to run.
Right on, man.
Sorry that we ran short here. Let's just take one more. Sandra from New Jersey.
Doctor, and I'm calling you doctor because you're an ambassador of a good intelligence and health. I used to work for a large pharmaceutical company. I take no medication if I can help it, because originally we went to Africa, South America, and so forth to get the roots, berries, and barks, brought it back here, synthesized it, added other things to it. FDA, of course, is getting paid. I get a PDR, physician's desk reference book. Every medication has a side effect. I want to know what state you're located in. Are you in Virginia and North Carolina on the radio?
I'm all over America. You would have to go to the Progressive Radio Network, and you'll see our coverage. We're all over the world. We're almost in every country in the world and cities across the United States.
Okay, one more thing.
I don't have one more time for one more thing. We're out of time. Thank you. We'll pick it up on another show. Let's just say hello. We got you, Teresa. We got Luann back.
Yes. Hello. Hi, Gary. Sorry about that. I just wanted to put a shout out to any of the members of your audience who have green thumbs, who are interested in planting flower beds and want to spend a month in a beautiful, warm climate. We have an opportunity for someone to do a 1 month internship, and you must have some kind of background in planting gardens and flowers, herbal gardens, things like that. So if you're interested in something like that, you've got some experience, give me a call. My number is 631-504-6198. 631-504-6198.
But I want to be clear on this, Luann. This is not me teaching people how to do agronomy or botany. This is where they come because they already have a passion for growing. They have experience. And they want to spend some quality time in a magnificent environment doing exactly that.
Good.
Okay, good. Thank you, Luann.
Okay.
I do have one more person here who's been holding. So, Rudy from Montreal, Canada, your turn. You're the last call. Rudy, you're on the line. No Rudy? Okay. He hung up. Then let's go over and say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice. Do we have Utrice on? No? Maybe she stepped away for a moment. Her show starts.
No, I'm here.
Oh, hi, Utrice.
Hi, Gary. Today, no justice, period. The fate of the Michael Brown and Eric Garner cases. What has happened to them?
Good. Utrice Lead right now.